If you have your Bible, I want to go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to highlight a few verses. And I'm going to make this statement because I believe it fits. I'm so honored not only for all the home folk, the visitors, everybody that's here on Mother's Day. I did apologize to you, Pastor. And I do this every year. Y'all that's come every year, you know I don't preach a Mother's Day message. Yeah. Amen. I just try to obey the Lord. And I try to obey God and do what God's called me to do. But I believe this, Brother Dan, and I'm honored you're here, preacher, you and your wife. But I will say this. Everything I notice in the kingdom, and I want you to listen to me carefully. Every minister in the kingdom, every church in the kingdom is in a transition period. Amen. I have never seen a day like today. I mean, everybody I'm talking to in ministry, whether they're a singer, a preacher, a worship leader, or whatever their role is in the kingdom, they are in a transition period. And maybe you've come today and that's where you are. I have a message for you that I believe will fit not only Mother's Day, but where you are in your life. Look at Luke chapter 1, because I really believe this is where we're supposed to be on Mother's Day and revival at Cornerstone. I'm in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to go down to verse 5. If you do me a favor when you get to Luke, St. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, would you shout a big amen?
Amen.
If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I'd love for you to stand. If you can at all, stand. I'll read quick. And then I'll pray and then you can be seated. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous. That's interesting. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Then I like this word, blameless. Everybody say blameless.
Blameless.
Boy, that's interesting. And they had no child. They had no child. Because that Elizabeth was barren and they both were well stricken in years. In other words, they're getting older. Came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense. I want you to note that with me. His lot was to burn incense. When he went into the temple of the Lord, I'm in verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. I'm in verse 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And note this, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. I want you to go back to verse 9, because it's my highlight verse. The Bible said it was his lot to burn incense. It was his lot. It was his appointment. It was his time. It was his designated day to burn incense in the house of God. If you don't mind, would you look up here very briefly? I'm going to give you my sermon and then I'm going to preach 30 minutes. I mean, that sounds pretty good. I want to preach today on it's your turn to burn. I like that so much I didn't even get a grunt, but I am going to say it again. It's your turn to burn. Father, I thank you tonight or today on this great Mother's Day. God, as I was making my way from Northwest Arkansas down here, God, in Roland, Oklahoma, and as I saw the beauty and the splendor, as I got to drive down the hill and look at the scenic views, realizing the handiwork of God that I was looking at. And God, I walked into a church that I know has prayed and I know has sought the face of God. I know there have been people that have pushed back the plate. There have been people that have fasted and prayed and asked you to show up in this place. God, oh, no, there's no doubt you've anointed me. There's no doubt you've called me to preach your word. But God, I do not want to do it without your help and without your anointing. If there's anybody lost, save them. If there's any backslidden, let them come home. Do something today as I preach for a few moments, and we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I will say again that I'm thankful for what God is doing at Cornerstone. I am glad, Brother Carl, that the fire of God that is evident in this house during the singing and during the preaching and during the altar call, I do not take that for granted. But can I get crystal clear with all of us today amongst the fire and amongst God doing great things at Cornerstone? And the burning of God, the fire of God that is evident in this house. Would you agree with me? It's not just to be in here. We are to burn outside the walls of the house of God. And it is our turn. It is our time. It is our appointment to burn. Now, when I thought about that, I said, God, how do you want me to introduce the sermon? Go to verse 5. I'm still in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to pull two truths, two thoughts out of verse 5. The Bible said there was in the days of Herod, everybody say Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. We find two characters introduced in Luke chapter 1. One's name Herod and the other's name is Zacharias. Now here's what I'll tell you about Herod. You need to know. And here's, let me tell you a little bit about Zacharias. Zacharias is a minister of integrity. Amen. Herod is a monster of iniquity. Somebody shout amen. We see one man that is a minister of integrity. His name is Zacharias. And then we got another man in the scripture, and his name is Herod. And he's a monster of iniquity. Would you agree with the man of God? They are polar opposites. And I said, boy, God, that's a contrast. As I see what's unfolding, and here's what God kept pumping in my spirit. Wrong seems to be reigning and truth is being tested. Wow. Matter of fact, Zacharias has a beautiful wife named Elizabeth. The Bible said, Brother Dan, they're getting older. They're well stricken in age. I mean, they're climbing up, man. They're getting older. And the Bible lets us in on an insight. They have no child. Now, when I begin to think about that and the transition that's going on in the kingdom, God began to, I'm telling you, Roman candles started going off in my spirit. Anybody in the room? And I could not help it. But wrong seems to reign and truth is being tested. I got good news, and some of y'all's impressed. I'm already on point number one. Brother Bill, point number one, if I'm going to preach to you and deal with the issues that it's your turn to burn, I want to show you some things that happen when you want to burn, some things that you need to think about if you're really going to burn. Number one, I want you to write down the waiting that is discouraging. Let me say that again. The waiting, that is discouraging. Now, I'm going to go ahead and raise my hand, Brother Philip. I'm not real big on waiting. Don't y'all sit up here and act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not coming. I'm not real good. It's not my spiritual gift. Waiting's not something. But the older I get, at 44 years of age, as I've zigzagged across America and poured into church after church and stood every week of my life and tried to make a difference in my family, can I just be real with you? Sometimes waiting is discouraging. And God showed me in the text that Zacharias and Elizabeth are older. Zacharias and Elizabeth are wanting to have a baby. They're wanting to have something that they can hold, something that they can call their own, something that they can pull to their chest and wrap their loving arms around. But the Bible said they had no child. Brother Carl, the interesting fact of that is this. I am dealing with ministries in 2018 that are barren and they have no child. I'm preaching better than your amen. And they have nothing that they can hold. They have nothing that they can pull to their chest and thank God for. They are barren, whether it's barren in ministry or they're barren at home or they're barren in life, and they are frustrated. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, waiting is discouraging. And I deal with people on a weekly basis. And here's the kind of words I hear as a traveling evangelist. Things like this comes to me. Brother Derek, I thought I would be further down the road than I am right now. I thought I would have seen more results than I have seen in my ministry. Oh, man of God, it's been weeks, it's been months since we saw a sinner walk down the aisle and bury their head in an altar and be changed by the power of God. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. I believe in God and I still have no child. Wow. And God said, Derek, plow the fence, plow the row, plow it a little deeper. I said, okay, God, what do you mean? Waiting, the waiting, that is discouraging. They had no child. Now, I could spend a week, and some of you don't want me to, and I done told you, I've been working on the clothes. But here's what I know, Brother Bob. Herod was on the throne. Zacharias is in the temple. Shout amen. And they have no child. Seems like his faith, there's no fruit. Even though he is faithful, he doesn't seem fruitful. And so I begin to think about that. And I begin to think, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to address the thought of having no child? And God, what do you want me to say? And it just kept going over and over and over. These thoughts, Brother Dan, came to my mind. You think your prayers are not being heard. Seems like the castle of dreams has collapsed. Seems like your hopes have folded. Seems like nothing is going according to plan. There is no fruition and there is no fulfillment and nothing's going on and you have no child. Now I'm going to get real and I'm just going to give you some basic stuff. Let me ask you this question. Has anybody ever been in the waiting room? Oh yeah. Let me go ahead and tell you my experiences of the waiting room. I walk into the room, Brother Carl, and I come to the desk and I look, Sister Virginia, and there's 15 names in front of my name. And I go ahead and write Derek Stennett. And I sit down. And I don't know if you can tell, I'm the nervous type. I don't know. Nah, nervous is probably not the right word. I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little fidgety. Now, no, you know, I hate to just bring up stuff you didn't notice. I'm trying to help you understand. So I signed my name on the waiting chart. And I sat down and they call Bob and they call Sally and they call Tim and they call Renee and they call, y'all not hearing me, and they call Daniel and they call Eddie and they call Freddie and I know they've called eight names, I've counted, and I'm 15 on the list. And I really, do they not realize I got some stuff I got to do? And I wait in that line. And the Holy Ghost takes opportunity to work on Derek because I need a lot of work. Tommy, the Holy Ghost said, you know what's going on? God said, Derek, you know what's going on? I said, I hate to be Captain Obvious, God, but I'm waiting. Yeah, you're waiting. He said, but everybody else in the room is waiting as well. Can I tell you what's frustrating about waiting? Is you don't ever think about the man sitting across from you. Somebody shout amen. Can I just go ahead and tell you, we're all in this room and we've come in on this Mother's Day and it's easy to understand my weight is a bigger deal than your weight, but I am convinced there are people in this room, probably a majority of the people in this room, you are in the waiting room. Here's where it got good for me, Brother Larry. God said, Derek, in a moment, they're going to call your name. Hold up, y'all. I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to stay calm. And God said, Derek, you're one door away from getting to the treatment room. Y'all can't. I don't think that bunch over there heard one word I just said. I said, you're one door away from moving from the waiting room to the treatment room. God brought me by to preach to somebody. You're about to go to the treatment room. You've been waiting and waiting and waiting. But God brought a bald-headed preacher by to tell you, you're just about to go to the treatment room. Woo! I'm trying to stay calm. I don't want anybody nervous. Hold up. Down the hall is the treatment room. Oftentimes, what gets me, Brother Dan, is the wait. I don't know how you're built, but I'm one of these guys, I make this statement a lot. Hurry every chance you get. I hate to feel like I'm the only one. Anybody ever said, hurry every chance you get? Matter of fact, some of y'all saying it right now. Hurry every chance you get. I hate to be that observant. I hate to be that noticeable. But I know that we all get in a hurry. And what I'm learning in life and what I'm learning in ministry is it's worth the wait. Do you realize if you get in a hurry, you're going to miss what God's going to do? Do you realize if you rush off and marry that young man or rush off and marry that young lady and you hadn't prayed about it and you hadn't sought God, would you agree with the man? You're liable to get in trouble if you just rush through life. Hey, what are you talking about? I deal with ministries all the time. Brother Carl, they thought they heard from God and they really hadn't heard from God. And they rush and they go to that great church and the church, it doesn't work out and things don't go as good as according to plan. And listen, sometimes we get in a hurry. And the waiting is discouraging. If you agree with the man of God, would you shout amen? Now, I cannot believe how fast I'm preaching, but here's where I'm going. I want you to notice this. And God said, Derek, make it plain. What made it difficult, Pastor, about Zacharias and Elizabeth is the Bible said they were righteous. And the Bible said they were blameless. Can I tell you something frustrating in life? Is when you're doing all you know to do and it still doesn't seem like it's working. Wow. I'm preaching real good. I think some of y'all forgot how to amen, because that's really good preaching. I mean, you're living true. You're living right. You're faithful to the house of God. You're pouring into your children. You're going to the house of God Sunday night. And when you're faithful. You're always there. The word righteous means they were living up to the mark. They were living up to the light. They were doing all they knew to do. But listen to me, Brother Bill. And not only were they righteous, they were blameless. And they had no child. Sometimes it's discouraging when you go to church and you're faithful and you sign up and you go to the kingdom and you go to the church every week and you're faithful and you still have no child. Now, I'm just as shocked as everybody in this room. I'm already on my second point. I notice the waiting that is discouraging, but I want you to write this down. I want you to notice the work that we have to be devoted to. Hold up. I see the waiting that is discouraging. Then I see the work I must be devoted to. Brother Carl, can I make something crystal clear? In your waiting, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a daddy, whether you're a mama, whether you're a deacon, whether you're a teacher, whatever your waiting is. Listen, while you are waiting, don't forget your work. Because somebody, Brother Dan, waiting is not easy. But if we're going to wait, and we're going to wait right, we cannot forget the work. Amen. The Bible said he executed the priest's office before God. He fulfilled his duty. He was faithful to his calling. He was committed to do what God had called him to do. And so when I think about that, it reminds me of the young convert, the young Christian, Brother Larry, that came to his pastor and he said this. He said, "I'm discouraged. I'm weary. I cannot put my finger on it. I know I'm a new convert. I know I'm a new Christian, but I don't understand why I'm so frustrated and why I'm so overwhelmed." And he told the man of God, here's what he told the man. He said, "I'm keeping my morning prayers. I'm keeping not only my morning prayers, but my morning devotion." Tommy, he said, "I'm praying and I'm reading the Bible every morning of my life." But he said, "Pastor, I'm discouraged. I'll never forget if I live to be 100. I'll never forget what the old man of God did." He takes his right finger and he does like this. He goes down. He goes over. He goes up. And he goes across. He goes down. He goes over. He goes up. And the young convert's watching that. He's going down. He's going across. He's going up. He's going over. Finally, the young convert said, What are you doing?" He said, "Young man, listen to me." He said, "You keep the framework. God will put the picture in it after a while." Hold up. Whoa! Sometimes I cannot help it. I have to shout. You say, "But we're in a Free Will Baptist church. Look up here so I can help you." I was raised in a shouting Free Will Baptist church. I don't even get nervous. Amen. But I want you to listen to me. And I want you to hear my heart. I am convinced, Brother Carl, that if we'll keep the framework, God will put the picture in it after a while. If you agree with the man of God, would you shout a big amen? Amen. Now, I promised you, and I'm going to. I want you to write down two principles. If we're going to get the work that you have to be devoted to, there are two Bible principles about working that we need to get a hold of on this Mother's Day. I want you to notice this. And if I took notes, I'd write it down. In Zacharias' life and Elizabeth's life, there was a faithfulness to remain. Wow. They're older. Brother Bob, they're older. Brother Beal, they're getting up in age. And yet, even though they are old, and even, I'm not being mean, and even though they're getting older, they realize the importance of a faithfulness to remain. Can I tell you what's going to impact your children is you are faithful to remain. Do you know it's going to make a difference, Mama, in your sons and your daughters? Is come hell or high water, you were faithful to the house of God. You were faithful to put God first in the good times and even in the bad. Whoa. I'm feeling like high-fiving somebody. But I want you to hear me. There is a faithfulness to remain. Now, listen to me. God approved and God honored Zacharias, and he was pleased with Zacharias and his faithfulness to remain. I'm telling you, he's up in age, Brother Hayes. He's up in age. He'd still go into the temple, and it was his lot. It was his appointment to burn. I like that. Not only did I notice a faithfulness to remain, jot this down. I noticed a fire he retained. I don't know how you just heard what I just said and you stayed so calm, but you did real good. Brother Philip, there was a faithfulness to remain, but I also noticed there was a fire to retain. Now, I want to burn with passion. Brother Carl, as a 44-year-old man, a father and a husband, and a traveling evangelist, I want my children to see a faithfulness to remain. And Brother Dan Parker, I also want my children to see that I have a fire to retain. It takes blood, sweat, and tears to keep the fire burning in your life. Hey, this fire business, ladies and gentlemen, if it was easy, I mean, anybody could do it, but it takes prayer. It takes devotion. It takes time. And someone said, well, Brother Derek, you're making this thing too hard. Brother Carl, I'm not saying it's too hard. I'm not even saying it's impossible, but I am telling you, there is a price to pay to have the fire of God. Amen. Fire to retain. Now, I could spend a week, and I will not, because I love you. And I'm going to be gracious. And I'm going to be very gracious. But I want you to notice this. Historians say this was the most coveted of all the priestly duties, to be able to carry the fire into the temple. There's no doubt Zacharias' heart was dripping. Years of dedication and devotion. The Bible said it was his lot, Brother Bill Rogers. It was his lot to burn. Brother Roy, it was his lot to burn, his appointment, his designated time to burn. Decades of devotion. And it was his lot to burn incense. Now, here's what I'm going to say about that. And it won't take me very long, I promise. My last point's my shortest point. Everybody grin. Can I tell you, Brother Carl, Sister Virginia, Brother Larry, can I say something today that I hadn't said? Do you realize there's a right way to burn and there's a wrong way to burn? Let me say that again. There's a right way to burn and a wrong way to burn. Matter of fact, when we burn, I used to wear it. I really did. I'm a free worshiper, Brother Carl, and I'm sitting beside you, and I know you're my elder, and I respect you. And I'm sitting there, and your bunch is singing, and I'm a little louder than most. And I'm But I never felt you got nervous. I never felt like you got upset that I was amening. And I'd raise my hands because that's how I worship. And everybody look up here. And so you understand what I'm saying. Do you realize what I've learned in all these years of ministry? Brother Dan, everybody doesn't worship like I do. You don't have to raise both hands. You don't even have to cry. You don't even have to pat your foot. You don't even have to get emotional. You can just sit there stoic. You can. It's okay. Because I've learned everybody don't worship like I worship. But can I tell you what we must do? You better worship. However you do it, whether you pat your foot, clap your hands, or you grin a lot, or you smile, or your eyes light up like diamonds, I don't care. I don't care how you do it. Just worship God. Because He's worthy. If you agree, shout amen. Now there's a right way and a wrong way. Here's what I'm going to say. And I promise I'm going to get out of the way. I can tell you what I've learned in ministry. I've noticed people that come to church, they burn with indignation. They burn with bitterness. They burn with envy. They burn with animosity. They burn with unforgiveness. Watch out, I'm going to sneak up and start preaching in a minute. And they burn. But they burn the wrong way. In Vienna, Austria, years and years ago, after the bombs had hit the buildings and destroyed most of Vienna, Austria, an American tourister goes to Vienna to survey and look at the destruction of what the bombs had caused. And the American guy notices an elderly gentleman with a basket, what you and I would push into Walmart. And the elderly man is pushing the basket down the road. Brother Bill Rogers, inside that basket is a bundled form. And that bundled form, the American man cannot tell, but the old man keeps pushing. And he finally comes to the sanctuary. He comes to the house of God. And now the American guy is close enough to see the elderly gentleman. And the elderly man picks up the little bundled form. And Sister Virginia, it was a little baby girl. The older gentleman holds the little girl and walks into the church house, gets the little girl positioned where she's comfortable, and the old man prays and cries. The American guy walks in and he sees that this elderly man is praying, and he feels like he's invading his privacy. So he walks outside and he waits outside. 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour went by. After some time, a long time, finally the elderly man walks out and he has the little girl in his arms. And the little girl, her arms are twisted and her legs are twisted. And she looks like she's deformed. And she's got some stuff that has happened. And the older man is holding the little girl. And he takes some coins. And they've got a little bucket. And he throws some money. He throws some money in the bucket. The American man, the young man, is watching the elderly man holding the little girl. Now the American knows the little girl's arms is twisted and her legs are twisted, and the old man's carrying her, and he walks outside. Don't miss me. Don't leave me now. And he's holding, and he can tell. The elderly man can tell that the man is watching, and he says this: "It was the bombs. It was the bombs. It killed her mother. And it killed her father. And it left her like this." But listen to what he said. He said, "We come here every day to let God know we're not mad. We let God know we're not mad." Wow. Can I tell you today, some of us burn with unforgiveness and burn with animosity and burn with stuff that we need to lay at an altar, and we need to lay it down so that we can burn with passion and we can burn with a revival fire, that we can see real revival at Cornerstone Church. Amen. Amen. If you agree with that, shout amen. I close the sermon. You mean that, man of God? No, I'm on my final point. Ain't nobody preaching any faster than I am today. How come? I'm the only one preaching. In this house, anyhow. Here's what I'd write down. I noticed the waiting that is discouraging. I noticed the work that you must be devoted to. Say, man of God, are you finished? Yeah, I'm done. I want you to write this down. I want you to write down the word of God that is definite. Amen. The word of God that was definite. I'm in Luke chapter 1. I'm in verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him. Now, I didn't read it. I need to get 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him, I'm in verse 11, the angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. I noticed the word that is definite. Derek, where'd you get that? Well, I hate to be this simple, Brother Dan, but this is real ministry. Wait, work, word. Wait, work, word. If you'll wait and you'll work and you'll look in the word, you'll always find answers. And where did he, Brother Bill, where did he get his prayer answered? At the altar. You know, and I'm probably going to preach this week on the altar, so I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but I'm going to tell you something. There's things that goes on in the altar that doesn't happen anywhere else. Amen? And the word of God that was definite. Here's what I found out. He said, the angel said, fear not. Thy prayer is heard. And here's what I've learned, Brother Carl. Here's what I've learned, Sister Virginia. Sometimes you pray and you pray and you pray. Day one, two, three. It turns to a month. It turns to 3 months. It turns to a year. And it seems like your prayers have not been heard. Anybody ever felt like you were praying, 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 praying? Seemed like God wasn't paying you no mind. Amen. This elderly lady. Let me back up. Not elderly. This lady stood up in a prayer, in a testimony service. She raised her hand. I'm closing right here. She raised her hand, Brother Philip, and she said this. Can I testify? Pastor said, sure. We love to hear your testimony. She goes through a whole deal of the faithfulness of God, the grace of God. Sister Marlene, she gives it all. She's Brother Tommy, she's giving a great testimony. Brother Larry, she's doing a great job. And she comes to the end of the testimony. And here's what she said. She said, and I thank God for saving my lost husband. And everybody look up here before you write me off. Her husband was lost, but she was thanking God in advance that God was going to save her lost husband. She'd been doing that, Brother Carl. This is what blew my mind. She had done that for 25 years. Amen. Praying and praying and praying. And she stood back up and she said, I know I just testified, but she said, can I say something else? They said, sure. She said this. She said, I just told y'all that thank God for saving my lost husband. She said, after I said it, it dawned on me. I've been saying that for 25 years and my husband's still lost. And she said, you know what? The devil jumped on my shoulder today or this evening and told me that everybody in this room thinks I'm crazy. She said, but I got a word for the devil. I'm not done praying yet. Hallelujah. Hold up. 7 days after she stood back up, her lost husband walked into the church house walked down the aisle of the church, buried his head in an old-fashioned altar, and got gloriously saved. Can I tell you what that tells me? Maybe you're here today and you're 7 days from the greatest prayer you ever prayed being answered. It's your turn to burn. Stand all over the room.